It's time. Time to get inspired and empowered. To realize it's never too late. To create your next amazing story. Get ready to break through, transform, and start living the life of your dreams. So, are you ready? Truly ready to begin your journey to create your next amazing story in life and love? Great. Let's jump in with your host, Life and Love Transformational Coach, Suzanne Oshima.
Welcome, everybody, to the It's Never Too Late show. I'm Suzanne Oshima, and I'm a life and love transformational coach at Your Next Amazing Story. Today, we have a very special guest, Dr. Ali Benazir, and he's the author of The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible. And guess what we're talking about today is it's never too late to be absolutely irresistible to a man. So welcome, Ali.
Thank you for having me, Suzanne. Thrilled to be here to perhaps convey some useful information for your audience.
I know. And I just have to say, I've known about you for years. When I first got into the dating industry, God, so long ago, I remember like you were one of the pioneers because you wrote the first book geared towards men, right?
That's correct. It was also called The Tao of Dating, and that was for men because that was the easier book for me to write. I was an advisor over at Harvard, and I had all these kids who were just a few years younger than me, but I just kind of looked at them like, wow, look, you're surrounded by a single woman. You live with them. You have three meals in the day. You have class with them, and you cannot get a date to save your life. What is going on here? So I took it upon myself to write a short manual for them just to say, hey, look, this isn't so difficult. People much, much less accomplished than you have figured this stuff out. So that's what I did, and that turned into the book, The Tao of Dating for Men. At the same time, I realized that all the females that I knew, especially my Harvard classmates, they were in a similar predicament. I mean, these are women who were tremendously accomplished, obviously very educated, very smart, and young and good-looking, and either they'd been divorced twice already, or they couldn't find the right man, or they were with the wrong man. So I'm like, huh, what is going on here? So I thought, look, these kids are sharp. If you give them a book on something totally useless like organic chemistry, they'll read it and they'll learn. So what if I gave them a book on something that was actually really useful, like how to relate with other human beings such that you can find yourself a life partner? So that's what I did, and it kind of worked. People read the book and they learned stuff, and they went off and they said, hey, doc. So the funny part is that almost all of those kids whom I taught then are married, and I'm not. So there you go.
Well, you helped a lot of people, both men and women. So I think that's amazing. And so let's talk about what makes a woman absolutely irresistible to a man.
Wow. So that was one of the funny parts about writing the book, because I was the one telling women how to be more womanly. And to me, that made absolutely no sense. At the same time, I am also the end recipient, the end consumer of the results. So if something feels good to me, I can say, hey, that was really good. That was like totally irresistible. And if they do something else that doesn't sit so well with me, I can say, you know, that wasn't really all that attractive to me or perhaps some other guy. So I would say that the number one quality that makes a woman irresistible is embodiment of her femininity. And this may sound tremendously obvious, but right now I'm in a country called Colombia. And I noticed that there's a lot of femininity happening in this country, especially when you go out and you see a dance floor. And on this dance floor, the man is leading and the woman is following. There's certain bodily gestures, certain looks of the eye, certain sighs. There's a whole body language, there's a whole set of expression that goes with receptivity. And receptivity is kind of the essence of feminine energy. And you see that, and the women are allowing themselves to be led. And there's this beautiful interaction, and it's really powerful. And it's something that you don't see as often, say, in the United States, especially like if you don't go to a salsa bar. So that idea of receptivity and femininity and being allowing yourself to feel everything, that is completely irresistible to a guy. Because in a way, a guy is, I wouldn't say like completely deaf and blind to the universe, but not nearly as sensitive and not nearly as able to fully receive it. And so we look to women and unconsciously or consciously, we're trying to plug in, literally and figuratively, into a woman so we can feel more. And so when a woman becomes that conduit for sensuality, for pleasure, for grace, for everything that's flowing through the universe, a guy sees that and he just lights up. You're like, whoa, what is that? That is amazing. And also femininity also in contradistinction to masculinity. So in the same way that a woman would not necessarily find a very feminine man attractive, a man does not necessarily find a very masculine woman attractive. And for better or for worse, a lot of the work that we're doing these days, especially with women in positions of high authority, like president, you know, a chancellor of Germany, for example, or a CEO of many very large corporations like GM. And we've had unprecedented gains in women's empowerment. And that's fantastic. However, that management energy, that running things energy, that's kind of like CEO energy. So if that's what we bring to the interaction with the guy, then those may clash. So it's important to remember that, hey, in the romantic context, it's the femininity that actually attracts the guy as opposed to the masculinity. So just be mindful of that and bring that to bring the full force of that, because women already embody the femininity. So it does come naturally, I believe. I've never been a woman, so I'm guessing that's how it works. So that's number one.
So before you go on to point number two, I want to ask you a question about that, because it's interesting. Right now, you're in a different country, in Colombia, and notice that the women seem to be more in their feminine energy. And I know, you know, for those ladies that you don't know him, is that he did live in the United States for a very long time, is that why do you think that women in the United States have lost that more feminine edge or feminine power in the United States?
Well, I'm not sure if they've lost it. It's always going to be there. It's a matter of what you choose to major in. So if you major in feminine energy and that's what you use all day long, then that's what it's going to be. And if you major in masculine energy, then you're going to have more of that. So in psychology, they talk about instrumentality, that being masculine energy. And that's what a lot of work in the United States has to offer. And it's also the double-edged sword of gender parity. And this happens a lot in countries like Scandinavian countries, where you have the maximum amount of gender parity. And what happens, that energy between men and women kind of gets flattened out. So what I talk about in my writing is polarity. So it's the polarity between the feminine and the masculine that creates that juicy energy flow between them and creates that irresistible feeling. And it's possible that if you have a lot of masculine energy, you'll be attracted to a feminine pole, a guy who has more feminine energy. However, in my experience, most women don't necessarily go for that. So in any society where you have more gender parity, then you actually have to put in the effort of really practicing the femininity and expressing it. Otherwise, you just kind of come out of work and you're still using that instrumentality energy, which is competent and respectable, but not necessarily attractive. It's not necessarily the thing that guys flock to. It's like, oh man, that woman, she's so powerful. I mean, I dig that, but most guys, you know, they don't think, wow, she's so authoritative, I'm going to go for her. They think, wow, you know, she looks great. She moves gracefully. She like meets me in the eye and just looks at me like I'm the only person in the world, which brings me to number two of the things that make women absolutely irresistible. And that is, shorthand word for it is devotion. So we're not saying that the next guy who whips around the corner, you should devote your whole life to him. But I am saying that the energy of devotion is something that is rare and properly used is absolutely irresistible. Because what a guy wants to do in its simplest, broken down to one word form is win. That's what masculine energy wants. It just wants to win. So if you are the person who is a catalyst to his greatness, if you are the person who makes him feel like he's 50 feet tall, if you're the one who makes him feel like he is unstoppable, then you have a monopoly on men. Because everybody else is worrying about how they look in that skirt. They're worried about, hey, am I cool enough? So if you're the one actually making other people, and it could be men or women, doesn't matter. But if you're the one who kind of gives up on the whole notion of am I enough and instead spends her energy to make other people feel like they're $1 million, then you win. And it has far-reaching effects, because when you make somebody else feel like $1 million, just by virtue of our mirror neurons and the way that we're like hyper-social beings, you end up feeling like $1 million yourself. We're all interconnected. So when you give, you get. You make other people feel awesome, you're going to feel awesome. So you're going to start to glow in the dark, and people are going to say, hey, who's that glow in the dark woman? I want to be around that. And there is no age restriction on this. You can do this at any age. In fact, I believe it's women over 40 who tend to finally come into their power and to really harness that energy of wow. And when you do that, guys just stop in their tracks and they're dazzled. I mean, I've met maybe 3 true goddesses in my life, like women who just truly embodied the essence of a supremely powerful woman. And these women could have any guy that they wanted to. One of them happened to be married to a very wealthy man. The other two, you know, they ran companies, super successful ladies. And all of them were over 45. One of them was over 50. So this is not something that discriminates on the basis of age. If anything, the more mature you are, the more you can really grasp this. Because this whole idea of devotion is really about being able to overcome the ego. And instead of thinking, oh, how do I look? Oh, what am I getting out of this? You just kind of put that to the side and say, hey, how can I be of service? And in the end, I think that's kind of why we're here on planet Earth, to give our gift and see how we can be of service. So the more you embody that, the more irresistible you become.
Right. So now it's interesting because you said these 3 women that you found to be total goddesses that you met in your life were over 40. And so what I hear a lot, and you probably hear this too, is a lot of women over 40 and above say that a lot of men that are around their age want to date women younger. And yes. I say that's not true. I mean, there mm-hmm. are, of course, there are some men that want to date younger women, but there are also plenty of men their own age that want to date them. Can you speak into that?
Oh, absolutely. So being a man and being a single man, I notice the appeal of younger women and older women. And the appeal of a younger woman is that she's just naturally radiating that femininity, and also she's sending off all the signals that evolutionarily draw us to another person, what people call, you know, attractiveness, which is basically symbols of fertility. Here's somebody who can potentially bear me a child. That's not what I'm thinking, but I'm like, oh, wow, that's hot, right? But an older guy who is actually a grown-up, right, a real man, an adult, he's not really going to go for that. That's not going to be so interesting for him, because after 15 minutes of conversation, you're going to be like, okay, now what? And where's the depth? So what an older woman can bring to the table is depth. And I feel like it's a no-lose situation, because you bring that depth and you're filtering out all the guys who are not interested in depth. And so they just naturally fall off. But those who are interested, they're going to stick around. They're going to be very interested. So if you're providing that depth of communication, that depth of feeling, that depth of devotion, then you know, he's got nowhere to go. And you have your pick of the litter. In fact, your problem is going to be, which one of these guys who's crazy about me am I going to choose to spend my time with?
Right, right. Okay, so what's your third tip on what makes a woman completely irresistible to a man?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is more particular to myself. And, you know, I really appreciate competence. So just talent, competence, and its manifestation. So the thing that I do not find attractive is that whole notion, you know, I talk about the 3 big questions that women need to answer correctly if they want to be successful in their love lives. And the number one is, you know, what is running in your mind? Are you asking yourself, am I enough, or how can I serve? Are you asking yourself, am I enough, or are you asking yourself, how can I bring something to this situation what's missing from it? How can I make these people feel like $1 million? So, and that to me manifests itself also in competence, in your willingness to be radiant. So that radiance, that competence, that grace, all those qualities that say, wow, here is an extraordinary woman, here's somebody of incredible talent. That makes it very appealing for me. That makes me want to be around that person, because I feel like I can learn and grow by associating with this person. Because in the end, after 15 years of doing this stuff, I've come to conclude that there's one really good reason to get into a relationship, and it's because, hey, I'm interested in growing as a person, and by being with this other person, we can help each other grow even faster. We can be a catalyst for each other's growth. So when I see that competence, that radiance, that grace, I'm just like, wow, I want to be around that.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So what would you say to the woman that says, you know what, that all sounds great, but you know what, I feel like it's too late for me to find love again?
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a self-fulfilling prophecy. And if you give up on you, the chance of somebody else coming to you and say, no, 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 you can't give up on you. I haven't, you should, no, no, it doesn't start that way. So to them, I would say, you need to stop focusing on yourself. You need to start focusing on other people, because there, it's not like relationships aren't some kind of app. You kind of press there and somebody comes and makes you happy and fulfills you. This is all about what you can contribute to the world. And hey, maybe for a while you need to sort out who you are, figure out your own value, recognize the fact that you are in fact a miracle, because hey, we all start out as a single cell. One cell became two, became four, became 8, 16, 32, 64, 128, 256, 512, 1024. I can go on for another 50 minutes before it becomes 40 trillion. You are 40 trillion cells all working. So if you can cross the street, that is an insane miracle, and you are, you know, you're pretty special. But people aren't walking around thinking, hey, I'm a miracle. They're thinking, oh, I'm not good enough. Nobody wants me. So think about how you can be somebody's answered prayer out there, because there is somebody out there who needs their prayer answered, and they're feeling just as lonely as you are. And loneliness is an epidemic these days. Do not be deceived. England even appointed a minister of loneliness, so we have a major problem there. So if you are that person who is able and willing to provide real companionship and be a real catalyst to growth and truly appreciate people, not because of it's some kind of ploy. It's like, oh, well, Dr. Ali said I could do this and I could get myself a boyfriend. No, but really as a thing that's coming from deep inside your heart. And that's how these goddess women whom I met, that's what they were like. They just look at you and like, wow, you are a miracle. This is amazing. And so when you do that, then the world responds. And moreover, you will stop feeling lonely yourself.
Oh, I love that. So what do you think is the number one thing that blocks women from meeting what they would call a quality man?
Number one is they're probably not getting out enough. So they're sitting in their living room and maybe reading books or talking to their girlfriends. They're like, oh, there are no men out there. And, you know, the statistics are that, yes, there are a lot of men out there. There's 3.5 billion of them at last count. And no matter where you are, statistically, there's a number of men out there, far more than you can possibly handle in this lifetime, who are eligible, right? And the more you become the kind of person who is able to enrich other people's lives, as opposed to waiting for your life to be enriched, then that pool expands, becomes gigantic. So you just need to be more deliberate about it. And of course, as you get older, yes, men tend to live shorter than women. So the die-off rate is higher, but it's not like you're all in a nursing home and you're fishing for 95-year-olds. So we're talking 40s, 50s, 60s here, and there's plenty of men out there. And, oh, all the good men are already married. Well, yes, a lot of them are married, but some of them are not. Some of them are divorced. Some of them are hanging out on a site somewhere waiting to meet somebody like you. I don't necessarily encourage people to use dating sites, but if you are in that demographic of slightly older women where there are fewer eligible men, that may not be a bad place to kind of supplement. But get out there, be the one throwing the dinner parties, assemble people, be proactive, ask your friends, hey, do you know anyone? Do you know any decent single men in this particular age range? And also be open to younger men. There's a whole pool of them, and there are plenty of men who are precocious, and they're like, wow, this woman, I mean, she's 10, 15, 20 years older than me, but holy cow. The other day I was talking to this girl that I kind of had a crush on, and her mom walked in, who was like 60, and she had a 25-year-old boyfriend. So anything is possible. I mean, maybe that's not what you want to go for, but the thing is, if you are the embodiment of the goddess, if you are the embodiment of the divine, if you are the one making people feel like $1 billion, then you have a lot more choice than you think.
Right. I love that. I love that. It's about what I'm hearing you say is number one, it's about opening up, getting out there, but also being vulnerable, because I think people have become so closed off and afraid to say, hey, do you know anybody that you could introduce me to? Because they're embarrassed. Why be embarrassed? You got to open up the doors, right?
Look, you got 40, 50 more years to live. You just can't be shy about this business. You go for what you want and be deliberate about it. And also, try to get rid of a lot of cultural baggage. So somewhere, somehow, somebody told girls, oh, nice girls don't ask guys out. Nice girls don't approach guys. And look, it's your life. You don't walk down the supermarket aisle hoping that the right pasta and cereal pop into your shopping cart. You pick, you choose, you put in there. So by all means, do that. And once you've done that, you can step back and let the guy chase you a little bit. So you want to maintain that masculine and feminine polarity. But you know, I give all the ladies full permission to go for what they want, talk to guys, at least find out what the situation is. Is he single? Is he attached? And that way you can get the game going and be deliberate about it. If you like theater, go watch a play. That's where the single guys who like plays are going to be. If you like, you know, the symphony, go there. If you like cooking, go to a cooking class. If you like yoga, well, it's 9-to-1 ratio, but that one guy, nobody's talking to him. So you go be the person who talks to him. So there are men everywhere. And once you get in the habit of doing this, it doesn't even have to be like every day talk to 10 men. You need one good lead a week and you will be overwhelmed beyond all spreadsheets. I mean, if you meet one decent guy a week, that's 50 guys for the year.
Yeah.
Can you handle 50 guys in 1 year, Suzanne?
Yeah.
All right.
I could handle 100. No, I'm kidding.
Well, you are the professional, but the most people will be like, 50 guys, what do I even do? So embarrassment of riches.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I love that. And that's a good goal for women to shoot for. So this has been amazing, Dr. Ali. So where can the ladies find you in this amazing book? Because your book, I know, goes way deeper. Like, it's almost like a step-by-step guide that
women need to go through. Yeah, I mean, it is a step-by-step guide because that's how you have a recipe for making a dish. You do step-by-step. And if you can make a dish, you can do this. This is not rocket science by any means. If I can come up with it, guess what? You can definitely execute it. So the book is called The Tao of Dating, The Smart Woman's Guide to Being Absolutely Irresistible. And my website is taoofdating.com, taoofdating.com. There are links to the book there, and you can find the book on Amazon, audiobook, ebook, and paperback versions available. And I'm available at Dr. Ali B, that's DRALIB, at taoofdating.com. Any questions you have, I'm happy to answer. I try to respond to everybody who writes to me.
Aw, that's so nice. So ladies, go find Dr. Ali and his book. So thanks everybody for joining us on the It's Never Too Late show. Our show is available both in video format and audio format, which can be found at yournextamazingstory.com. And if you would like to get our free ebook, How to Create Your Next Amazing Love Story in 3 Simple Steps, you can click right here on the video, or you can go to yournextamazingstory.com.
Love today's episode of the It's Never Too Late show? Then head on over to yournextamazingstory.com to continue the conversation. Get access to show notes and get more amazing content.